Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So, Jimmy, have you been up to anything lately? New TV shows, new games, new hobbies, anything like that?
Gaming-wise, that's tough. No new games. I haven't been gaming that much recently. I do play this weird Marvel card game on my phone. It's called Marvel Snap. But that's just like, you know, to kill some time in between things at work when I'm in a thing. But I haven't been playing any new games. What about you? Anything interesting? Maybe some recommendations?
So, and it's not new, so to speak, but I have gotten into The Last of Us because of the TV show. And so, yeah, I've been watching the TV show, and like, I know what happens in the actual game from the original release in what was 2013 or whatever. My old job, I'd have a lot of downtime, and so for weeks at a time, I would just find like let's plays on the internet. I think there was one channel called like MK Ice and Fire or something like that. I think he still does stuff, and he will play games entirely through, all the way through, but not without commentary. So it's almost like you're just watching a movie. So I've seen the game played, but I was like, you know what? I should give it a shot myself now that it's so popular. So I got that PS5 remake or remaster, whatever you want to call it. And I've been playing it, and I'm really liking it.
I also have not played The Last of Us. But should I play it? Or I don't know anything about it. Like, I know the premise of it. I'm enjoying the show a lot. But I hear the show is very faithful to the game. So I'm like, should I just stay away from the game so I don't get anything spoiled for me?
I mean, yeah, if you have no idea what happens in the game, then maybe you should avoid it. But if you already kind of know how it ends and everything, then you can go ahead and play it. Like, I already know more or less how the show is going to end based on what happened in the game, because I saw the game played from start to finish in like 2013, 2014. That being said, you know, if you don't know what's going on, then maybe it's better to just watch the show. But the game is definitely worth the play. Like, I it's one of those things where I'm like, how did I not play it until now?
Yeah, maybe I'll check. I know what happens from 1 to 2, because everyone's been talking about like a certain character that's like, I don't know. I'm not even gonna talk about it. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. I'll tell you after we finish talking. So I might check that out. What game? I'm looking for a horror game though. I love scary movies, so I would love to find like a horror game to play.
Isn't it this month or next month where the remaster or remake of Resident Evil 4 comes out?
Ooh, maybe it's next month. I just saw an article about that the other day.
Month. It's like,
is it? Oh wow.
Yeah,
oh wait,
March 24th.
Oh, dude, I keep forgetting that it's March now. It just slips my mind. We just, like, this year is going by way too fast, honestly. But yeah. I'll have to check that out. In all honesty, it really, like, 4 wasn't my favorite. But 3, I didn't like 3 either when it first came out. But I loved the remake. You know, like, they did a better job. So maybe I'll like 4. We'll see. But when they do
honestly,
5, do you think they'll go to 5?
5 wasn't really popular, and I doubt they'll make 6 either. I could be wrong.
Really? I thought 5 was the most popular.
No, 4, I would argue that 4 is definitely the most popular one. Yeah, 4 was the one where you're Leon Kennedy and you're in the... Yeah, and you're in the saving the president's daughter, you're in that Spanish village, and it's not the T-virus, it's the Las Plagas parasite instead, and 5 takes place in Africa.
Oh yeah, 5 isn't good. Wait, what's 6?
6 was like multi-pronged. So there's like 3 different campaigns. You could play as two persons to a campaign. So there's like six characters total.
Okay, I am thinking about four. Four is really good because Leon comes back.
Yeah, six was probably the most hated by fans because it took away everything that made Resident Evil great and just made it another action game.
Okay, I don't know if you remember this, and I might be getting it wrong, but there was this game, I believe it was called Resident Evil Outbreak, and it was supposed to be multiplayer, multi-character. So I think you were supposed to be able to play with people on the internet. And I want to say this is like a very early, maybe like PS3, PS2, very early adopter of the internet online gameplay. But man, I really would like, I would love a remake of that because I love the Resident Evil franchise. Even the bad ones are okay. I mean, I don't replay them, but the Resident Evil franchise is so good. And that's why I hate the movie so much.
Yeah, the movies, well, the first two movies, what was it, Resident Evil, Resident Evil Apocalypse, I thought were actually pretty decent. Now, granted, I was also in high school when they came out, so like my standard for film was different. I feel like after that, they were just not good at all.
My problem is, like, there's already a good story. You know what I mean? Like, We already have, like, the perfect story for Resident Evil 1 and 2. You just shot for shot those scenes, like how The Last of Us is doing. Just basically rewrite that into like a movie and then we're good. And well, the new Resident Evil was garbage. Now, are you talking about the new one?
No, the first two. So the Resident Evil 1 and Resident Evil 2 Apocalypse, the movies that came out in the early 2000s, followed, not entirely, but followed the plot line of Resident Evil 1 and Resident Evil 3, respectively, the games.
I mean,
but then after that, they were pretty much their own story arc with like some Resident Evil lore sprinkled in there.
I mean, they followed it like, it's kind of like, we need you to hit these key points. But I feel like if you would have just done the mansion, like in the first one, and then you would have done, what's her name? Claire and Leon for the second one. Like, that's just a good story. Like, those are the good story. And the daughter and all that. I know they wanted to take their own interpretive twist on the thing because they didn't want to do a shot for shot. But it should have just been a shot for shot.
I kind of agree. And I guess it was an interesting take to add Alice to the show. But at the same time, I don't feel like there's such great casts or great characters in the game itself that they didn't need to just make up a character for the films and then, you know, make all of the actual cast members like Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield and Chris Redfield and whatnot as minor characters.
Well, because they were like fun cameos, you know what I mean? Like, they came in and it was like a good wink to the people who played the game. But they weren't like the integral parts as they were in the game.
Yeah, they were just side characters. Like, they should have been main characters.
And I guess this is my thing. For all you Hollywood producers, directors, writers, everyone, I know you're listening. If you're going to make something, like if you're going to like remake something or you're doing something based on an existing property, like a video game, if you cannot make it better, just remake the thing. You know? No one's going to hate you if you like, because they love it already. So they're going to be like, it's great. It was what I played. I got it in live action form. This is great. But if you try to like do it and then you can't do it better, then it's like you ruined it slightly.
Yeah, I heard an interesting theory about why, because like video game movies back in the day were terrible. The only one I could think of, I think there's only two video game movies like pre-2019 or whatever that I could think of that I ever actually liked. Those would be the first Silent Hill film and then first Resident Evil film. Beyond that, I hated most all of them, but I mean, I guess they still, they tried, but like nobody else, they weren't, they just weren't doing their job, I guess you could say. But now we have old, like a lot of us have aged up and are now in Hollywood and are writers and stuff. So a lot of us who grew up playing video games are now like creators. And so we're doing them justice.
Okay. Yeah. Gosh, now I can't remember his name. You know, the Star Wars guy, David, no, what is his name? Gosh, who's the Star Wars guy who did Clone Wars and Rebels?
Oh, gosh, I know who you're talking about. I'm just drawing a blank.
Oh, Dave Filoni.
Yes.
Dave Filoni and like even Jon Favreau. These are people who love Star Wars growing up. And now they're making it, so they know what to do. Like, these are things that they love, so they know how to treat them right. So, like, we're mm-hmm. seeing with people who are doing, like, adaptations of video game movies and stuff like that. They grew up with these games. They played them. They understand them. They love the lore. They love everything about it. So, you know, we're getting some really good stuff. I just, like, hope it continues. I'm really, I don't know what's the next thing coming up that I'm worried about. The Mario movie, but I think I'm going to enjoy that. And it's not aimed towards me, so whatever. I'll still watch it.
When the Sonic the Hedgehog film came out, what's funny is that was like the last film I saw in theaters before everything shut down. Actually, I think I might have saw Birds of Prey. It was either, I would have to look at release dates. I either saw Birds of Prey or I saw Sonic, and those were the last films that I saw before lockdown. But I went and saw Sonic with a friend, kind of, not to hate watch, like that's probably not the term I want to use, but it was more like, I had zero expectations. I was like, you know what, this is going to be a good way to kill 2 hours, and we can make fun of it later or whatnot. And I actually wound up liking it.
It's a good movie. Like, yeah, it's a good movie. The second one's okay, too. You know, it's not like I'm like, we need to stop this. Also, I don't know. Sonic has such, it's so open to interpretation. You know what I mean? Like, plus, this is like taking Sonic and putting him into our world. So that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, video game movies have been terrible. That movie's obviously aimed towards kids. I'm not a kid. So I was like, it's going to be terrible. But I wound up liking it a lot, and I think a lot of it was probably nostalgia. Like, I think it definitely hit a lot of us who grew up playing Sonic and having a lot of those, like, early Sega references and stuff. But I thought it was a good game and, like, or a good movie, rather. And now I'm kind of, like, with the Mario movie coming out, I'm hoping that it's just as good.
It looks fun. Okay. Have you seen the new trailer? I mean, it's not new.
I have not.
Okay, so of course I feel like we all know that Chris Pratt is not doing the Mario voice with the accent. I think we all know that. But in the new trailer he says, it's a me. Or no, not it's me. Does he say it's me? Oh, now I forgot. He uses the accent though. Oh, let's a go. Oh. Is what he says. Do you find like that is the accent though? Like, why does he use the accent for that part, but not the rest of it?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm nitpicking now, but it looks fun. I'm more interested in, like, the Mario Kart stuff that's going to be in it. I think that's going to be cool to watch, but it's going to be a fun popcorn movie, so, and kids will love it, so
yeah.
Either way, I think it's going to do well. I like Chris Pratt still. So, yeah. I guess that's all I have to say about that.
Maybe they should make a King of the Hill movie based on propane or whatever that game was.
Oh, yeah. That would be interesting. Man, I guess, wasn't that like, it felt like a, did you ever play Duke Nukem?
Yes.
That game felt like a Duke Nukem ripoff, the propane game.
Yeah, well, let's figure out what's happening to our propane salesman. Just to recap, we did, what was it called? We did Propane Boom last week, which was a season 2 finale. We're doing Death of a Propane Salesman. This is our episode 51, season three, episode three in terms of the original run. So this is kicking off season three. This is like the second part of a two-parter. Last one ended in the cliffhanger. Megalomart explodes, and we don't know who's dead or who's alive. So let's jump right in. Bobby is at a playground with Connie, and in the background you can see the smoke from the explosion, but clearly they're not paying attention to it. They're facing in the other direction, and Bobby's climbing up, and he's like, oh, we must be getting old. And Connie's like, we're 12. We are old. And they're talking about what they're going to do with their future, and he's like, oh, I think I'm going to go to college and study prop comedy. And Connie is like, I don't know if I want to be a concert violinist or if I want to lead the fight on over prescription of antibiotics. And Bobby's like, oh, you should be a violinist, that way you can open for me. And she kind of smiles at that. Dooley climbs up and he's like, your dad got blown up. And then Bobby and Connie turn around and they notice the smoke, and Bobby's sad or scared. I mean, she's probably feeling a lot of things at this point in time. At the Megalomart, we see that it was a massive explosion. Like, the entire building isn't gone, but a significant portion of the facade of it is gone. Like, you know it's not opening for another, I don't know, few months at best. We see Peggy run up to one of the firefighters. He's like, my husband is in here. He had to take this job because no one would hire him. And the firefighter's like, we're doing everything we can for you, Miss Mangione. All of a sudden, another firefighter comes out and it's like, hey, we found two live ones. And they bring Hank and Luann out, and they're covered in like one of those blankets. And, you know, Hank's a little beat up, but he looks fine. Luann's hair has completely burned off. And so, like, now she just has like this black, ashy hair on her head. And then she tries to comb it and it just falls out. So now she's bald. We see that Chuck Mangione is saved, but unfortunately, they weren't able to find Buckley, and it looks like they won't. At the hospital, they're getting checked out. Hank and Luann are getting checked out, and Bobby puts like a piece of chalk in his mouth, and his mom's like, hey, spit that out, that's not a mint. Which is funny because he's like 12, he should know better. Hank comes out and he's like, oh, no damages, no bruises, no breaks, I'm fine. Hey, let's hit up the batting cage. And Peggy's like, well, slow down, you almost died. And Hank's like, well, you know, that's the fun thing about dying. You either do or you don't. I didn't, so let's go hit some balls. And Luann comes out, and Peggy's trying to be nice, like, oh, you look nice, Luann. And Bobby's like, sorry about what happened to your boyfriend and your hair. And Luann's like, now she's kind of like, oh, I'm giving up beauty because it's so, not pointless, that's not the word I want to use, but it's fleeting. It comes and goes. I'm giving up beauty.
When Luann combs her hair after like them coming out of the Megalomart, I don't know. I always like, it makes me feel, you know, that awkward feeling of when like something bad's happened and like someone doesn't notice yet, but you've already noticed, or like this like weird tension. But when she combs her hair and then it all falls out and then she doesn't realize what's happening and she does that, where she tries to feel her hair and it's not there, and then she sees her baldness in like the shadow. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Is it bad that I laugh? I mean, it's supposed to be funny, right?
Yeah.
So that's funny. But I never understood why Bobby put the chalk in his mouth.
Neither do I, because he's old enough to know better.
Do you think he's just bored? I feel like it's just a bored thing. Like, I'm bored sitting here.
I guess.
Oh! Also, one last thing before we move on. I always, when I was like, the few times I rewatched this, I always thought it was a time jump. Because it's like Bobby and Connie climbing the thing and they're talking about the future or whatever. I always thought it was a time jump from the Megalomart exploding. Because then I was like, it's been a few months. But then Dooley comes up, he's like, your dad's been exploded.
I think maybe that was like part of the misdirect that they have there, if that makes any sense. Just to make people think, it is times past and Bobby's moved on and, you know, all of that stuff, whereas that's not really the case.
Yeah. So that's what I always thought of these.
In the alley, the guys are checking up on Hank, making sure he's all right, and he's like, there's nothing wrong. Buildings explode. That's what they do. So he's trying to play it off as it's not a big deal. And then he's trying to change the subject. It's like, hey, Bill, you're in favor of a flat tax. You haven't said anything about that. And, you know, he's just trying, and I can't blame him. He's just trying to get back to something like normal. Dale has a bunch of, Dale has a bunch of conspiracy theories around Buckley and what actually happened to him and all that stuff. Buck drives by and says, oh, good news. Strickland is back in business because Megalomart's not around, which, as an aside, like, would it be that quick for him to recover it? Like, he only just closed it like a week prior or whatever, but I guess maybe not. Hank is like, oh, well, you know, I need to give my notice. And Buck's like, oh, you definitely gave them your notice, insinuating that Buck thinks that Hank blew it up. And Hank's like, I did not hurt the Megalomart. And, you know, it's like, oh, Hank, you're acting weird. He's like, no, I'm not. I'm fine. This did not affect me in any way. And he pours his beer into a glass, and everybody's like, in the kitchen, Buck is calling, and Peggy picks up, and Hank's working on the toaster, and Peggy's like, oh, well, Hank will call you back. Oh, I see. Hank, why didn't you tell me that Mr. Strickland gave your job back? He's like, oh, it only happened yesterday. I haven't had a chance to tell you. It's like, their customers lined up out the door. He's like, oh, I'm too busy right now decrumbing the toaster. And you hear Bobby in the kitchen saying, save the crumbs.
Is Bobby going to eat the, like, old crumbs?
Of course he is.
I know. I feel like, yes, of course Bobby's going to eat the old crumbs. But I want better for Bobby than old. Like, how old do those crumbs, like, honestly, I don't remember the last time I cleaned my toaster.
I don't know, because, like, on one hand, I don't think I clean my toaster all that often, but at the same time, I feel like that's probably something Hank just does for fun, too. So it's very possible that, like, he does it every week or something.
So fresh crumbs, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay, if Bobby's eating fresh crumbs, I approve. But if they're, like, my toaster, where the crumbs are years and years old, then I don't want Bobby eating them.
I don't know. Is that even the thing you're supposed to do? Like, it's going to be like, oh, you're stuff. Yeah, you should do that all the time. That's going to ruin your toaster. Because I'm like, I don't even think of the last time I decrumbed my toaster.
I feel like it's going to be one of those things where it ends up being like, you need to decrumb your toaster because it's a fire hazard if you don't.
Maybe.
Like, that's what I feel like it's going to be, but who knows.
Yeah, I guess so. That makes sense. We see Luann, and she's in her bedroom just kind of, you know, well, understandably sad. And Peggy's checking up on her, and she goes in and is like, oh, you know, Luann, look who I brought, the manger babies. And she's like, oh, manger babies are for babies. I'm going to do something more serious. I'm going to go into photojournalism. Peggy's like, oh, okay, that's an interesting choice. And she shows Peggy a picture. She's like, look at these pictures of hungry children. And Peggy is like, why is the CNN logo in the corner? It's like, oh, you can't take pictures of a TV and pass them off as your own. And Luann's like, it must be nice to be smart and well-fed, Aunt Peggy. At the Megalomart, you know, you have like the Texas, I guess, police department, or you have like one of the investigators from the state of Texas over there doing their investigations. And Dale is like checking up on them. Is like, oh, you're not going to find anything. I hear Megalomart employees have an insurance policy on all of them. And it's like, that's ridiculous. It's like, well, that's what they want you to think. And then the guy is like, sir, we are they. And then Dale's like, get, and he runs away. Then dinner the next day, Hank's outside preparing to grill, and he has the steaks and he's getting ready, but he's afraid to put them on the grill. And Peggy's like, hey, are you going to throw on the steaks? And he's like, oh, I'm still tenderizing them. It's like, you've been hammering them since noon. Go ahead and throw them on the grill. And he realizes that Hank is afraid of the grill, because now we even see like noticeable sweat on his shirt and stuff. And he's too scared to ignite. So instead he just throws the steaks over the fence. And it's like, oh, I lost the steaks. The steaks land in Dale's yard, and he thinks that he's like licks them. He's like, huh, the meat doesn't taste like Buckley.
How does he know what Buckley tastes like?
That's what's kind of funny.
Also, would Buckley be like, if he was exploded, would he come out in like perfect steak shape?
That's true. That's a good point. Like, did somebody go to the butcher after Buckley died and had him like chopped up into steaks?
Oh man, I always feel like this is the first time I've realized like the sweat stains on Hank's clothes when he gets all like flustered.
You don't see him do it that often, so it is kind of funny. But then I think it's such a great visual too to like how Hank is not dealing with this well. Like it's understandable. Like, you don't always get into an accident like that, and if you did, it's totally reasonable to expect you to be a little bit afraid or whatever. Like, that's totally reasonable. And then also somebody died, so having survivor guilt. So yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Speaking about death, after the break, we see them at the house and they're prepping to go to the funeral. And it's like, hey, Hank, somebody needs you to help man the grill. And Hank's like, oh, it's a propane grill. He's like, they're not Unitarians, of course. And then, which I don't get that joke, but okay. I guess it's supposed to be funny. Hank's like, I don't know. Weight grilling is something you do for, you know, a blood relative or a family friend. Now, if Bill died, then maybe. Luann comes out and she's wearing kind of a frumpy dress. And Peggy's like, oh, you look good, Luann. Well, here's a gift from the ladies over at the beauty school. They gave her a wig that looks like it was just made from a bunch of other wigs, but okay. Like, none of the hair, none of like the locks of hair match in color. Luann is like pretending, I don't care about beauty anymore. Beauty doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. And Peggy's like, oh, well, you know, you lost a boyfriend. That's a big deal. You know, Red Book says the fourth most painful loss, but I don't know. It's just, it's funny. It's not funny, but yeah, everybody grieves in their own way, and it seems like Luann's trying to delay having to grieve.
I also am like, Luann is, I don't know. I'm always like, man, I feel like she's worried about the wrong thing, but that is Luann. I always feel like she's worried about her hair more, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I think what it is in my opinion, is that, what's the word I'm looking for? She hasn't processed it yet. And so she's trying to find anything to maybe give her. There's a lot of things that could be happening. One, she might be trying to give her life meaning because she survived and Buckley didn't. I don't know. There's a lot there. Now we jump over to the actual funeral. Dale goes to look in the coffin because he believes there's nothing in there. Buckley's still alive and everybody's lying about it. He goes there and we see him turn like pale, ashen, and he throws up into the coffin. So clearly something was in there. Buck shows up for the funeral and he is like, hey, Hank, what brings you here? Guilty conscience? He's like, I have nothing to be guilty of. I didn't blow up the Megalomart. And Buck's like, oh, I'm glad you said that. I'm wearing a wire for an unrelated reason. So when are you going to come back to work? And he's like, oh, after I've had an adequate amount of time of grieving, Buckley was like a son to me. Chuck Mangione is there and he plays at the cemetery. And the priest or the pastor is like, does anybody have any words to say about Buckley? And Luann goes up. She won't cry for Buckley. And she's like, oh, you know, we should be worried about the hungry Irish children. He puts up, she puts up a picture of Bobby in his underwear, like reaching for French fries. And she's like, this is a picture of a hungry Irish child. We need to fight the occupation. She walks away. And then pastor's like, okay, anybody else have anything to say? His name was Buckley. Anybody? And Con gets up and he's like, oh, you know, I used to love Buckley because Hank hated him, but now I like him and now I miss him so much. And do we want a world without Buckley? And then he's like, yeah, as a Buddhist, I'm going to tell you a story. You know how Buddhists love stories. Until he tells a story about a guy who's running away from a tiger and he falls off a cliff. And as he falls, he grabs onto a branch and there's a tiger waiting at the top of the cliff for him. And at the bottom of the cliff, there's another tiger who's waiting to eat him too. So he's just kind of stuck and the branch is starting to give a little bit too. And he looks over to the corner, through the corner of his eye, he sees at the end of the branch a strawberry. He plucks it and he eats it. And it's the best tasting strawberry he's ever had. And what's funny is everybody thinks he's trying to tell a joke. Like Hank is like, can you believe it? This guy tells a joke at a funeral, and Bill's like, yeah, but it was funny. Oh man, it's I don't know. That one always makes me laugh, but it always also makes me sad, I guess, is the word we're looking for. Just because, like, to me, it's obvious what he's doing. He's making a point about, like, appreciate life or appreciate the life you have or whatever. But
is that what it's about? I mean, I never got this, like, so the strawberry is supposed to be, like, you appreciating life?
Yeah, for the most part. So, like, the guy knows he's going to die. So he just appreciates, like, that moment of his life that he gets to eat. He's not worried about how he's going to probably die in another 5 minutes or anything. He's just enjoying the strawberry.
Interesting.
So it's kind of a live in the moment type thing.
I never thought of it as a joke. I just always was like, oh, this is like a story I don't understand.
At the Hill House, we see Bobby, or we see Peggy, and in the back, you can see like dirt footprints leading to the bathroom, and Peggy has Bobby's clothes. It's like, how do you see how one boy can get so dirty in the cemetery? Bobby, take a bath. And he's like, there's no hot water. And so Peggy's like, oh, again, Hank, will you check the heater? And so Hank goes to look at it, but he won't light it because he's still afraid of propane. Peggy shows up, like, oh, have you lit it yet? He's like, oh, no, I'm getting ready. And she's like, oh, for crying out loud, I'll do it. So she grabs the matches and does it. And Hank jumps and tries to protect Peggy. And Peggy's like, what's up with you, Hank? If I didn't know better, I'd think you were afraid of propane. And then she realizes that he is. So they go to a support group for propane explosion survivors, which is oddly specific, but I guess at the same time, it probably makes sense since they did just have a propane explosion. Chuck Mangione is like, I don't know why. Every time I play a song, they all feel so good. And the counselor is like, maybe because they do feel so good. And Chuck's like, nah, that ain't right. Then they go up, the counselor goes up to Hank's like, and what's your problem? He's like, I'm afraid of propane. Next, move on. And so Peggy's like, do you think he needs electroshock therapy? And counselor's like, no, but he needs to acknowledge his fear of death. And he's like, I'm not afraid of death. That's a dumb thing to be afraid of. It's like, what? You're afraid of never sipping wine with a friend, petting your cat or cats, making love to your partner? He's like, no, I don't need to. I'm not afraid of death. He's like, until you deal with your fear of death, you won't be able to deal with your fear of propane. And Hank starts sweating and he's like, huh, where this place is about to blow. Can't you hear the hissing? He runs out and it's actually Chuck Mangione, his cleaning out his horn, like, you know, the spit valve, and that's the thing. Back at the house, Peggy comes out with a scrapbook and she's like, this is how normal people get over trauma. I've spent the past few years clipping out grisly accidents from the local newspaper and making a scrapbook out of it. It's kind of a hobby. And Peggy goes through it and it's like, you know, this group died in a horrible car accident. Then it talks about the shooting at Ohio State and all that stuff. And Hank's like, oh, gross. Now that kind of gives me like, that makes me worry about Peggy. Like, if that's her hobby.
I mean, I don't know. Peggy has some weird hobbies. Like, Peggy's just a weird person, I think. So, you know, I do feel like in the reboot, Peggy would have her own podcast. Like, she would have her own, like, murder mystery podcast.
She absolutely would. She'd have some true crime podcasts, but then because she's only covering crimes in Ireland, it's all, like, super boring.
Okay, question. Chuck Mangione, does he live in Ireland?
I don't know. Like, I want to say yes, because that would make sense. But realistically, I have no idea.
Because he's at the funeral. I mean, maybe, like, okay, in honor of Buckley, he's playing there. Also, we don't have a regular picture of Buckley. We have to use the Megalomart picture of Buckley for the funeral. Yeah, like
his employee ID.
Yeah. But
yeah, that is kind of funny. Maybe they wanted us to remember how he died. I don't know. Or where he died.
But there's that. But then Chuck Mangione's in the support group. So it's like, do you live here?
I have no idea.
I mean, I do think he lives in Ireland. Because, I mean, jumping to a future episode.
Yeah.
Do you remember that episode? Are we doing it? Can I spoil it?
I don't think we're doing it. Yeah, so there's an episode that shows that he lives in Megalomart, so.
Yeah, he must be a local then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I mean, he doesn't show up every episode, but he shows up in quite a lot to where it's like either he's passing through Arlen like a, just an unnatural amount of times, or he lives there.
Okay. That would be a good podcast mystery. Chuck Mangione, does he live here? Does he not? Peggy can handle that one.
Mm-hmm. Back in the alley, Hank is trying to talk to the guys. And he's like, y'all ever think about death? And, you know, Bill's like, yeah, every day I... As an army barber, you wake up every day and stare death in the back of the head. And Dale's like, I'm never going to die. I put in, I forget what chemical he says, but I put in some chemical every orifice every day. All the guys kind of back away slow from him. And, you know, they're like, you know, you got to relax and enjoy life. And Boomhauer tries to give some words of wisdom. And the guys are just talking. And Bill's like, you know, if you die, have you thought about who will take care of Bobby while you're gone? And Bill's like, I'll do it. And Hank's like, you know, Hank's kind of taken aback by this. And Dale's like, yeah, I'll take care of the boy. You can take the widow. And they shake hands on this. And Hank's like, no, don't shake his hand. And Bobby overhears this all. And he's like, now he's starting to worry himself because he's like, oh, I thought everything was fine. But now they're talking about death. And, you know, he walks away. So Hank is back home and he tries to ignite the propane grill. He actually gets like a large like stick. It has to be like, I don't know, a 5-foot pole or something. And he's trying to hit the ignite button from like the other side of the yard. All of a sudden, Peggy shows up. Hank hides the stick and Peggy's like, Bobby's missing. Connie says he's beyond the tri-yard area. And they're like, oh, no. Hank gets Lady Bird and Peggy brings out a fruit pie and they give Lady Bird the fruit pie to smell. It's like, okay, she got the scent. Now go find Bobby. As they're running, Luann is going crazy. It's like, I don't know how you can worry about him when there's so many Irish kids sewing swishes onto shoes. And eventually, you know, Connor's head. He's like, I'm tired of your, you know, weird Sinead O'Connor act. I cried a river for Buckley. Why didn't you? And Luann gets mad and, you know, goes off in a huff, goes to a room, slams the door. It's like, why should I cry for Buckley? And all of a sudden she sees a birthday card like that she had in her mirror from Buckley. And it's like, hey, you know, I was going to buy you those earrings, but I spotted something else instead. So here's some CDs I don't listen to anymore. And she reads the letter. And I think that's when she finally breaks and she cries and cries about losing Buckley, cries about losing her hair. And excuse me, the manger babies try to give her a pep talk and tell her that she should look pretty and try to look pretty. And she's like, I don't want to look pretty anymore. It's like, oh no, try the wig on. She puts it on. And then the manger baby's like, let's try it again with the wig off.
Okay. When did she slip the manger babies on her hand? Like there's, she's looking at the car and then she sits down and she starts crying. And then suddenly the manger babies pop up.
Yeah. Manger babies. Why? Maybe they were just left behind from the other episode, like earlier in the episode when Peggy tried to bring them in. But yeah, when did she slip them onto her hands?
Because I was watching it, like, I was rewatching it, and then you see her, like, start crying, and she leans back, and then suddenly, like, I forgot what, the donkey comes up and starts talking to her, and then the British penguin, and it's just... It's just such great. And I love when she puts the wig on and it's the penguin's just like, let's see it with the wig off.
Yeah, I feel bad for her on that one. But then at the same time, the penguin is her. So it's like her inner thoughts coming out through the penguin's mouth. It's not like the penguin has its own sentience.
I mean, it's not a good wig, though. Come on. Like, it's all like random hair.
Yeah. As if, like, they just picked up clippings from the floor and made a wig out of it or something.
Yeah, so. Though I did really, I mean, spoilers for the end of this episode. I really wish she would have styled the wig, you know, and came out with him and, like, I found myself. But I guess she found herself not needing the wig.
Yep. So Hank's looking for Bobby. Bobby's back at that same playground from the beginning of the episode. So I guess it's a nice way to bookend it. And he climbs to the top of like this jungle gym rocket ship and is like, you know, Bobby's like, oh, how did you find me? He's like, oh, you know, I gave Lady Bird one of your fruit pies and she took me around the block for a bit. And then, well, Mr. Krinsky called and said that he saw you go to the playground. And It's like, oh, he must have been looking for his mom, and we see like his elderly mom playing with sand in the sandbox. So I don't know if like she's a dementia patient or whatever, but you know, it's just kind of a funny visual. You know, Hank tries to get to the bottom of why Bobby's here, and Bobby's like, you know, I'm just worried because I thought you had died, and then all of a sudden you were talking to your friends about death and dying and what will happen to me and stuff. And Hank's like, oh, you don't need to worry about that. Hopefully it doesn't happen for a long, long time. You should be worrying about other things like school and getting dates and, well, getting dates. Death should be the furthest thing on my mind. And he's like, you just need to learn to relax and enjoy life. And then Hank kind of has this epiphany. And he's like, huh. Hey, did I ever tell you the story about the tiger and the strawberries? Like, no. And Hank tries to retell the story, but then he tells it in his own way, where he's like, instead of tigers, they're Detroit Lions, and it's football, and Roger Staubach is the man, and he sees that he's about to be tackled, but out of the corner of his eye, he sees a cup of strawberry Gatorade, and he drinks it, and it's the best Gatorade he ever had. Bobby thinks it's a joke, too, and so Bobby's like, oh, that it was funny. You told it all right, Dad. Here, let me tell you another joke. And I was going to write down what the joke was, but it's like, for somebody who says he loves comedy, he's doing a terrible job telling this joke, because he's like, okay, so these two Eskimos are going into the car dealership. Wait, did I tell you that they have their sled to trade it in? It's like, no. Okay, good, because that's a punchline. Anyway, so yeah. And then, of course, there's a post-credit scene where they're all back at Strickland, all the workers, and everybody's kind of making fun of Hank for having been scared of propane. And then they also joke about him having blown up Megalomart, and he's like, I did not do it. And then Joe Jack thanks him for doing it, for getting his job back. And that ends the episode.
I do love seeing the evolution of Bobby's comedy career coming. Like, he can't tell a joke now, but at the end, he's going to be he's going to be selling jokes. What is it? Yakov Smirnoff? No, is that right?
Yeah, he sells one to Yakov Smirnoff.
Yeah. At first, when I was saying the name, I was like, is that a name of a drink? No, but that's right. But I love this. I love Lady Bird having to use the fruit pie as like the thing. And then Hank was like, the Lady Bird took me around town a couple of times. So it didn't really work, but it was great thinking that, you know, maybe this will work.
It would probably only work if it was a fruit pie that Bobby had held, unless they're just trying to like insinuate that Bobby always smells like fruit pies.
You know what? I mean, last episode I was talking about colognes. I wouldn't mind one that smelled like a fruit pie. I mean, would that just be like sugary fruit smell?
Be like sugary fruit and maybe crust. Yeah.
Yeah. Just for the holidays. I don't know. This episode was really great. It has all these great moments in it, just like Luann overcoming her thing and Hank also having to deal with his own problems. And I love how Khan always inserts himself into these moments. Like, he barely knew Buckley, but he was like, Buckley was my life.
Yeah. Khan is an interesting character in this episode, but I think his biggest contribution is obviously the story that is mistaken for a joke, which I think is a good one. The moral is just enjoy the moments that you have while you're there. But then also like breaking Luann out of her, I guess, her craziness.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think Khan definitely did play a good part in this episode, which is funny because it did feel like he was super shoehorned in, like didn't have a place. And you kind of realize that Hank understands Khan's story towards the end, because I don't think he was trying to tell it as a joke at all. Like, I don't think he was trying to lighten up Bobby. There was kind of like this audio cue, if you will, when Hank was doing the episode, or when Hank was talking to Bobby, when he like said, relax and enjoy life. There was kind of like this audio cue that showed, like, I to me indicated that, like, oh, Hank caught on and Hank understands what Khan was trying to say and stuff, and then he tells a story. But I think, you know, he changed it because he's Hank, and I think talking about football players is more apropos to him versus tigers and men taking walks and falling and grabbing onto a branch and stuff. So yeah, I think this is I have to double check, but I'm pretty sure this is the first two-parter that King of the Hill ever does, and the first like major cliffhanger, because obviously like this is episode 1 of season 3. The last one was season 2. So, you know, you had to wait all summer to figure out what happened if you were already invested in this. But it was a good episode.
Yeah, definitely. These two are such a fun watch. It's great now that you can watch them back to back, so you don't even have to wait. So, you know, I definitely would recommend watching them as like a double feature thing. It's great. We get Manger Babies. We get Khan. We get Fruit Pies. It's all my favorite things in a King of the Hill episode.
Yeah, like I always say, the earlier seasons are definitely the best. This is one of the better episodes. I do like how, I can't remember, but I'm like 90% sure Megalomart never plays or never sells propane again. I don't know if it's just a story decision that they don't want to bring it up again, or if like in universe Megalomart's like, we destroyed a building with propane. We're not going to sell it anymore.
Yeah, I feel like it's the second option.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to tell myself, even though they never say it. That's what I'm going to tell myself. And hey, Hank gets to go back to Strickland where he's treated better, I guess.
Yeah.
We do lose Buckley, though. I mean, granted, he's only been on for 2 seasons and he's kind of a flat character, but still, it's sad to lose him.
Yeah, well, we get him cameo later on, but
true. Yeah, that's all I have on this one. What about you?
Nope. Like I said, I definitely recommend if you're going to just do like a double feature of 2 episodes. I don't know how you could. When I watch it, I like binge 10 at a time. But if you're only like sitting down for 2, this is a great like little short story.
Yep. And we're getting down to the home stretch. We have what, 1, 2, 3, possibly 4 more episodes here. So yeah, thank you for being with us, everybody, as we go through this. Next week, we're doing Lady and Gentrification, which is a later season, but it's actually one of the later season ones that I like. So join us for that. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.